with us. Thank you for your word. Thank you for speaking to us. Thank you for touching us. Thank you for doing that which only you can do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. You can have your seats. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 once again. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. How many people were not here yesterday? How many people were not here? Okay, so everybody was here. That's good. I wanted to tell you missed. Hallelujah. So 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we are going to read from there again tonight as I speak on concerning spirituals. Can I hear you say concerning spirituals? Say it again. Say concerning spirituals. So 1 Corinthians 12 verse 1, it says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away." I read the New King James. "You know that you were Gentiles carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities or operations," the Old King James calls it, "but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit, whatever it might be, no matter how diverse, no matter how different it is, whether it's the operation of the gifts, whether it is the operation in ministries, whether whatever it might be, the expression or manifestation of the Holy Ghost," he said, "but the manifestation of the Spirit." So he manifests in gifts. He manifests in ministry gifts. Hallelujah. He manifests in all kinds of operations. However he might operate or manifest, the Bible says, "but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith or special faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills." Like I said to you, yesterday, very briefly, I repeat myself, which is that God's kingdom, and actually what separates church from everything else, what separates, the things of God from everything else, are these manifestations of the Spirit. And that's why they are very important. Towards the latter life of his years, did I say that right, or am I already drunk? Towards the latter years, yes, I'm right, of his life, the late Kennedy again said that God told him to put more emphasis and begin to speak and teach about the manifestations of the Spirit. He said, because there is a move of the Spirit that will be lost to this generation except they are taught. And he said, there are many people who are teaching faith. There are many that you have also helped, and taught, and you have raised in teaching faith and can teach faith very well. And I remember Kennedy again would say, look, if someone like Charles Karp or Fred Price taught you faith and you don't understand, he said, you can't be helped. He said, but God said to him, but you will have to start teaching more about the manifestations of the Spirit, because there are operations of the Spirit that will be lost to this generation except it is taught. And we see that happening a lot. So power convention, as it were, is an instruction that we have kept with for many years, for decades actually, because God said to have this time, even though we have all our services that way, but you can't have church where all the time is all you do is dance to the Spirit or all of that. You'll have to teach things. You'll have to get, and sometimes even when you are teaching on family, the Holy Ghost can move. Are you hearing what I'm saying? The key thing is that we have to be open to have the Holy Ghost move amongst us. Okay? In some recent years, I took some time and I was watching Rodney Howard Brown. I was watching him because he was known as a revivalist who flowed very much in the gifts of the Spirit. But they have started a church for many years, actually decades. And I took some time watching the church services because I said to myself, we need to see churches where on a Sunday morning deliverance can happen. Where on a Sunday morning healings happen, miracles happen. It's not just the teaching of God's word. Why? Because the kingdom of God is not just in word, but it is in power. There ought to be the expressions or the manifestations of the Holy Ghost. Can I have an amen? So just like God told Kennedy again, it's the same way that Power Convention is centered around that. And over the years also, there has been a lot of specificity. So there are particular types of ministers that we bring for the Power Convention. It's different from other meetings that we bring, other ministers for, and there are ministers that we bring for all of them. Can I have an amen? Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. And one of the things you also have, and I'll remind you about, and I think I'm happy, you know, with the way we started yesterday, is that God is activating. So when you have meetings like this, it's because God is activating something. Can I hear you say activate? He's activating something on the inside of you. He's stirring up something on the inside of you. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 11, Paul wrote the Roman church, and he said, I wish to visit you so that I might impart some spiritual gift to you. That word impart means I might share, I might give to you some spiritual gift. He said, whereby you may be established. So he was saying that there's something about the spiritual gifts that I can give to you. In 1 Timothy 4:14, he was writing to Timothy, Pastor Timothy, and he said, don't neglect the gift of God that is in you through prophecy and the laying on of hands. So again, he was talking about activation. So certain things happen, certain things are activated when you are in certain places. Actually, there are multiple ways by which that happens. One of them is that you are hearing, and faith comes by hearing, and hearing by God's word. Are you hearing me? But there's something also just about being in that atmosphere and being in that environment that stirs something on the inside of you. Can I have an amen? You know, many years ago, I've been, you know, trusting God. Like I said to you yesterday, we watched a lot of Benny Hinn and all that, and I was believing God for the gifts of healings and the working of miracles. And one of those days, I was in a meeting. Actually, I'd just come back. I went to pray for somebody who was wheelchair bound. And I went with all of the faith in me and all of the zeal in me. And I went to this home and I prayed and prayed and prayed. And nothing happened instantly there. And I was going back and I was still thinking and praying and saying, God, God. I was totally expectant. You remember some of the things he was telling you yesterday. I was totally expectant that this person would walk. But as I went back, I was going to a meeting where a friend was ministering and many of my other friends would be there. So I just went to that meeting, but that was the burden on my heart. And as that meeting was closing, I began to feel a tingle on my hand. I began to feel my hand tingling. And I said to my friend, Reverend Richard Ashaulu, blessed memory. And I said to him beside me, I said, I feel a tingle on my hand. He said, you have desired it for so long, and God has given it to you. It's the gift of healings and the working of miracles. He said, hold the person next to you. And when I did, the person felt, wow. He said, oh, the next one. Oh, the next one, the person fell. He said, it's the thing that you have desired that God has given to you. I'm talking about activation. So it was in being in an atmosphere, being in a place. He wasn't preaching to me. There was no laying hands on me, but something happened to me. Something was activated because I was in that environment. So one of the things that you expect, you know, from yesterday to today to tomorrow to Sunday, is that something is activated. Hallelujah. Yeah, I think I was teaching not too long ago in fact, we're still talking about the gifts of healings. Somebody else, I used to minister a lot for them, you know, minister for him out of this country. And then one day, because I'm talking about the fact that things can get activated in you. There are gifts that God has put in there. And I believe that in these 4 days, God is going to activate certain things, certain giftings. They will come alive. Some have operated in them before, but you have kind of become cold and you become, you know, what you call a normal Christian. But I always like to tell people there's nothing normal about a Christian. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Look at your neighbor and say there's nothing normal about you if you are born again. Because the carrier of God can't be normal. Are you hearing me? And if you carry the Holy Ghost, you can't be a normal person. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. In fact, one of those days I was teaching, and I thought around these things, around the gifts of the Spirit and manifestations of the Spirit and all of that. And this lady, and she's looking at me now, you know, was in the service. And then she went to bed, and I think it was a dream. And in the dream she saw, you know, she was going to enter a cab, you know, those what do you call them, that just drive by, you know, and pick people up. But it turned out it was a one-chance cab, you know, that she saw. And all of that, and saw the whole thing clearly. And then the very next day, she was leaving work, and she was standing by the roadside, and this car came by. And she looked, she was going to run for the car, because it's not, you don't get cars easily there. But then she just stopped and froze. And said, I saw this, you know. I saw this particular one before. I saw this car. Like I'm not into this car. And that's how she was saved. Are you hearing what I'm saying? There's an activation. There's an activation. Can I have an amen? So every time you are seated and you are in meetings like this, something begins to happen in you. Can I have an amen? You see, when we read 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 1, the word gifts is italicized. That means it's not written, if you have a good Bible, made in Japan Bible, hallelujah, original Bible, it's italicized. So it's written in a cursive way, meaning that the translators of the Bible added the word gifts to it. Well, what they saw, they didn't see the word gifts, they just imputed it for better reading. And that's why we termed it concerning spirituals, because that is the more better, more accurate way to read it. And why am I saying that? Because in thinking about the gifts, we have taught us that this is all just about the nine gifts of the Spirit, but this is actually about the manifestations of the Spirit. However he chooses to manifest. Are you hearing what I'm saying? But it's however includes the fact that he's manifesting in dreams, he's manifesting in visions, in open visions. He's talking about spirituals in general, and he's saying, look, concerning spiritual manifestation, or concerning the things of the Spirit, things pertaining to the Spirit, I do not want you to be ignorant. Can I hear you say, I will not be ignorant? Unfortunately, there are three things I'm just going to emphasize very quickly tonight. Unfortunately, the church or the body of Christ has become very ignorant, almost deliberately. Because in the move to have a seeker-sensitive church growth movement, we have also zoned out of allowing the Holy Ghost have his way. Are you hearing me? Because also very often we are very time-conscious. We don't want anything to disrupt. We are very organized. I was in a service one time and I looked at it and I thought to myself, this is a very well-planned show. You know, everything was well-organized to the T. I mean, I admired the excellence of organization, but I was looking for the Holy Ghost. Are you hearing me? I was looking for the Holy Ghost. I couldn't find him in there. But everything else was well done, excellently done. But something was missing. The most important thing was missing, which is the manifestation of the Spirit. Are you with me? It's a combination. When you have good word, you ought to have the good Spirit manifesting along with it. That's what he said. He said he confirms, Hebrews chapter 4, chapter 2, verse 4. He said he confirms his word with miracles, signs, and wonders, and various distributions of the Holy Ghost. So they go hand in hand. Jesus was speaking about the Holy Ghost. He said when he comes, he will take of what is mine and show it to you. Show it to you. So he will take of what is mine, the things you have been reading in Scripture, and he will bring them alive. Are you hearing what I'm saying? He will manifest them. They will become a reality. You will experience them. You will see the things you are reading in the Bible, and they will become a real experience, personal experience in your life. Are you with me? We're going to look at three verses, particularly in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And the first verse is verse 1. It said, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. What you don't know, you can't benefit from. You will never be able to maximize it. The more you know about it, the more you can press into it. Are you with me? And that's why the teachings are important. That's why being in the environment where it's spoken about is important. The more revelation you get about the manifestation of the Spirit, the more you'll be able to press into it.
In Mark chapter 5, the Bible said that there was a woman with an issue of blood 12 years. And instead of getting better, despite seeking medical help, the Bible says she rather grew worse. And she spent all that she had. But this is my point. If the Bible says that when she heard about Jesus, she came in the press behind. When she heard, can I hear you say when she heard? It's the things she had heard that stimulated her ability to press into it. That's what I'm trying to say to you. It's the things she had heard. She pressed in the crowd, for she said, if I may but touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. So if she had not heard, if there was no knowledge, if there was nothing that she knew, she would not be moved to press into it. In Mark chapter 10, the Bible says there was a blind man by the name of Bartimaeus sitting by the roadside. And the Bible again says that when there was a lot of commotion on that road, and she asked and she heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth that was passing by, she said, Jesus of Nazareth, have mercy on me. Why would he scream? Because he had heard things about that Jesus of Nazareth, but when she then he confirmed that that was the person passing by, he could press into it. Are you with me? So number one thing is don't be ignorant. Can I hear you say don't be ignorant? You know, growing up, there were many houses, including ours, I think we had one sometime, that had this thing on the wall. It said that God is a silent guest. Is the unseen guest at every meal and the silent listener to every conversation. The unseen guest at every meal, the silent listener to every conversation. We are actually being taught not to expect the manifestations of God. Are you with me? We are being taught that God is silent. We are being taught that God can't be seen. We are being taught that he's there, all right, but don't expect anything. Listen, God manifests himself even at meals. Are you hearing me? And he intervenes even in conversations. Are you hearing what I'm saying, anybody? I remember when I just failed an exam. You know, I just failed an exam for the first time. And my father woke me up. I think it must have been around 1 a.m. You know, so when I think those things are strategic. You know, they are strategic to tell you the seriousness of the matter. So he came up, my mother was sitting downstairs waiting. And he came and called me, pa, 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 come. So I got off the bed and I followed him. And I went downstairs, I saw her sitting down. And then he sat down beside her and he said, you failed an exam. He said, look, it's because of this, you know, preaching the gospel that you are doing. He said, you loved God. But I said, look, you are very brilliant. You don't fail. He wasn't wrong because I was overzealous, but zeal without knowledge. I didn't know how to be disciplined, how to balance my lifestyle and all of that. So he wasn't wrong. But he sat there and he was just talking on and on and on and on. And I sat there. I couldn't say anything. I'm talking about the silent listener to every conversation. So I said, I sat there. I was just thinking, God, you know it's you. It's because of you, you know, that this has happened. And I said, God, there's nothing I can say to him or to her. I said, you talk to him. I was saying that under my breath. I said, you talk to him. You know, because I was thinking about the things that God was doing and the things that God had done. I had already known my error in being imbalanced. But here I was now being accused and being told that it's because of Jesus and blah, blah, blah. And he said, well, I don't know, but you maybe you need to stop all these things and all of that. And then as he was saying that, and I said, God, you deal with him. Because I can't say anything to him now. He just stopped all of a sudden. And he said, well, that's up to you and God. And he got up and left. So I knew that the silent listener to the conversation, intervened and interjected in that conversation. I said, Fem, what you talk? And he just said, it's between you and God. Okay, good night. And he got up and he left. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So God is not that silent. God is not that invisible. Are you with me?
We need to start thinking and rethinking that the God we serve is a visible God. And one of the first things we need to deal with this, because we'll talk about how to later, is that we'll have to deal with the ignorance that has come against us. The ignorance of the things of the gospel have been in places. In fact, sometimes people are chastised. People are taught against it, in fact, sometimes. And it's all wrong. The Bible says you don't despise prophesying. Thessalonians 5:20. You don't despise, meaning that you don't despise the manifestations of the Spirit. It's therefore you take that which is good. Are you still there? I've told you before, one of those times I was in, and I've been in several meetings where it's clear that people didn't know the Holy Ghost. When the Holy Ghost starts to move in, people are bothered. When they hear of juju, they are on their toes. They believe it. But when they hear that God can move, they can again say, one day he was in a meeting and he called a man and he began to tell this person what was wrong with him. And the lady said, he said, you must be a mind reader or something. So you believe in mind readers, but not the Holy Ghost. Are you hearing me? I know many of you are thinking, is that like that? But when they talk of Aye, many of you believe in Aye. Aye Ma is all about Abio. Are you still there? But God is there, and God is real. Are you with me? So the first thing is for us to start bringing back that knowledge that God moves. I was in a place, and I've said it many times before, ministering, and because people are even taught against it. And I was ministering, and this lady, apparently in her heart, was despising the move of the Holy Ghost, the manifestations of the Spirit. And she was just looking, almost like, you know, the kind of meeting we had yesterday. And she was just looking and despising everything in her heart. And by the time I finished ministering, I went to sit, I handed over the mic to the host, pastor, and I went to sit down. And then the people came and called me, and they said, come, this lady, she can't lift her leg. I said, why can't she lift her leg? I said, was something wrong with her legs before? Because I was thinking about healing. And they said, no. I said, so when she came here, nothing was wrong. They said, no. They said, but she can't move. And they were pulling her here, pulling her there, and they couldn't move her from one spot. And I thought to myself, what strange thing is this? So I asked God under my breath, and I said, Holy Ghost, what's going on here? And he said, when these manifestations began, she began to despise in her heart. And she said, what kind of nonsense is all this? So I tapped the lady and I said, look at me. I said, when the manifestations of the Spirit began in this meeting, you said in your heart, what is all this? And tears began to roll down her cheeks. And she nodded and said, yes. I said, well, God struck you to the floor to show you that he is real. Can I hear you say God is real? And then I laid hands on her and I said, Holy Ghost, please release her. And instantly she could move. Are you still with me? You know, one of the stories that struck me the most was a story told by Kennedy Hagin. And he told it about, this pastor Goodman and his wife. He said one night, great pastors, Kennedy Hagin, quotes or refers to them a lot. And he said one night, the wife couldn't sleep. This pastor Goodman's wife couldn't sleep. And she just kept praying. And the husband would wake up intermittently and say, okay, join me to pray. He would go back to sleep. But the burden she was praying about wouldn't lift. And then eventually the husband got up and just joined her. And they prayed, and they thought, is it the people that have traveled, you know, maybe festivity period, the people that have traveled, is there something wrong with any of them? They couldn't figure out what they were praying about, but they were praying other tongues. He said, and they prayed, and eventually the Pastor Goodman said, why don't we just pray and ask that God will reveal, you know, what is happening to whoever we're praying for. You know, God will show that person. He said, and they prayed about that, and the burden lifted, and they went to bed. The next day, a member of their church, who was an oil worker, went to work. He had a dream. That oil worker had a dream about that time. And that's the person they were praying for. They didn't know.
And in that dream, the oil worker got to work in the dream, got to work the next day, and the supervisor said, Mr. So-and-so is not at work today, he has called him sick. He said, why don't you replace him and operate this machine for us? And he went up the whatever it was, climbed the thing, and went to operate the machine. But as he did, something caught in that machine, and he came and cut his head off in the dream. And he woke up. I thought, you know, when you wake up, that some of those dreams, you are sweating. And he woke up and he thought, wow, what kind of dream is this? And then he got dressed and he went to work. And when he arrived at work, the supervisor said to him, Mr. So-and-so called in sick. He said, will you please operate this machine for us? And the man began to climb up to operate the machine. Then he stopped. He said, come on. I've seen something like this before. So he got back down. You know, when you come down in reverse like that, you know, that kind of thing. He came back down and he said, sir, I can't do it. He said, why? Why won't you do this thing for us? He said, look, I had a dream last night. And I saw that he didn't come to work. And I saw that you asked me to do it. And I saw that the machine cut. And I saw that he cut off my head. He said, so I can't do it. And the supervisor was still looking at him like, what do I do now? Another man stood up there and said, I will do it. He said, I'm a Christian too, but I don't believe in all that nonsense. And then he climbed up. And he went to operate the machine. And as he put the thing on, the thing cut. Pop. And he cut off his head. And the head hit the back of the one who dreamt as he was walking away. Are you hearing what I'm saying? We have believers who are despising the gifts, but the gifts are there to help us. The manifestations are there to help us. Can I have an amen? Ignorance will not help you. You will have to, like you heard yesterday, I'm putting an emphasis on certain verses, and afterwards I'm just following what God has laid on my heart. Afterwards I'm going to go to how to, but not today. How to, because you can learn some of these things. In fact, I remember Reverend Akiojo's sister called me someday, and she's not in the country. She called me and said, how do these things operate? And we began to talk about it. And I began to teach this is how it works. This is what you do. This is what you do. This is how the word of knowledge works. And then later she called me. She said, it's working. It's working. She said, I get to walk. And I'm not talking about church. She said, I get to walk and I know what is wrong with people. And I pray with them. I'm able to tell them, this is what happened. This is what's wrong with you. And I'm praying with them. Are you hearing what I'm saying? God is not an unseen guest. Can I have an amen? And he's not a silent listener. He might be silent sometimes, but he's not dumb. Can I have an amen? Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. You know, John Gillick was a missionary to South Africa. And John G. Lake he went for a funeral. It was the funeral of a young minister who had died. You know, of course, a young minister, however he died. But, I mean, so he was sad about it. And John G. Lake was thinking about this thing, that why did this man die? You know, I think it was actually an accident. And he said, why did this man die like this? What happened? You know, and while he was doing that, he had gone to condole with family and all of that, and he was driving. And he was driving, and as he drove, he got to a bend. He was climbing up, and it was a bend. And he heard a voice cross to the other side. He said, one lane coming, one lane going. So if I cross to the other side, I'll be facing oncoming vehicle at a bend. So I can't even see what's coming around the bend. That's one of the most dangerous things you can do on the road. He said he kept driving, and he heard, move to the other side. He kept driving, and he heard, move to the other side. And he moved to the other side. As soon as he did, a lorry that had lost control came around the bend and went on his own side, on the wrong side of the road. And then God said to him, you see, if you had not moved to the other side, that lorry would have crushed you. You would have died. Then people will say, why? Why? You are asking why. Then they will ask why. He said, because you did not listen. But thank God you listened now. He didn't say that's why the other person died. He just showed him that the manifestations of the Spirit will save your life. Are you still there? And that's why we need to know those things. Can I have another amen there? You know, and when he said it, the second verse I want you to note is verse 2. It goes along with verse 1. He said that I don't want you to be ignorant because you were led to dumb idols. Dumb idols means idols that can't speak. And he was saying, look, God is not a dumb idol. God, just what we have been saying, God is not a dumb idol. Even if you believed that before as an unsafe person, he said you ought to change your mentality now. But the God you walk with is a seeing God, is a knowing God, is a doing God. And the interesting thing about him is that he says, lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. You know, Jesus was talking about that in John 14. And in John 14, around John 14, 15, 16, basically, Jesus was talking and preparing the disciples for his exit. And then in John 14, verse 16, he said to them, look, I will go away, but you will have another comforter. The old King James calls it. The New York translation says, another helper. Can I hear you say helper? John 16, 7, he called him, he said, it is to your advantage that I go, otherwise the helper will not come. It means that this person will be actively involved in your life. It means that he will be actively involved in all that you say and do. You hear what I'm saying? It means that as you go about your daily business, expect the manifestations of the Spirit in the things you are saying, in the things that you know, in the things that you do. You know, one of the things that blessed me a lot, yesterday, was he was talking about the fact that you will take the gifting, the apostolic gifting, into the marketplace. He was talking about the fact that even when you have some of these giftings, it's not just for church. We have enjoyed it, and we have said, oh yeah, it's fantastic when we come to church in our church. The pastor will say, there's somebody here, there's somebody there, there's somebody here. Hey, but that activates us, and that helps us to learn so that we can apply it when we get out there. You know, one of the people that I used to minister for is out of this country. And one of the days, he sent me a seed. And it took a while before I got, you know, what he sent. It was a suit. Before I got what he sent, it took a while. But he shared the story with me himself. He said, because every time you came to minister, I was particularly interested in the gifts of healings. He said, and I was praying and praying and praying, and then I was gifted the suit. He said, I had only one suit. He said, and I'd just been gifted that suit, and I heard God say to me, if you want that thing, send it to him. And I did. And I didn't get it, you know, for a little bit, about 2 months or so. He said, but, you know, the moment I sent it, he said, that same manifestation began. I began to have this tingling on my hand. I began to sense the same things that you speak about. Are you hearing me? And why I'm saying that is that somewhere along the line, in not too distant past now, because in fact later on when I was to meet him, when I heard about him, I heard from a friend, and the friend was excited and said, "There's this young man on TV here. You know, he does that when he even prays over them, and he tells them just stop the TV. People are getting healed." And then he put it on, and I saw it was that guy, and I was laughing. So he said, "How are you laughing?" I said, "I know him very well, you know." But we sat down in not too distant past, and I was saying to him, and he was talking and talking, and he was talking about, you know, we need to impact our community, we need to do this for people, when you feed people, when you do that. He said, but what has miracle healing and all that, what value is that? So I looked at him and I said, no, that's not the right question you're asking.
The question you are asking is, how do I take the manifestations of the Spirit and take them to my street and take them to my office and apply them in all of those places? How do they apply in the mundane everyday of life? Do they apply in the mundane things of life and in everything that I do? I said, that's the right question, and the answer to that is yes, they do. But the same thing you are seeing happening in church has an application outside of it. Are you hearing me? In fact, the same things that happen in church will happen in your office. One of the days I was preparing to go to work, I was in the shower, and God said to me, so-and-so person is coming in with a migraine today. And I just thought about it and shrugged it off. And I got to work, and when I did, and this guy walks in, and he says to, and he's actually squeezing his face as he's walking. I say, hey, how are you? What's wrong with you? He said, I have a migraine. So I smiled, like, God has your number. So I said, come into this corner, let's pray. You know, I prayed for him and he was healed. There are applications. You carry these things. We have a gentleman in church who was working in a bank. And he said while he was walking, all of a sudden he was counting money. He was counting money and they bring, you know, bulk tellers. You call them bulk tellers. And while he was there as a bulk teller, and he brought this money and wanted to deposit, he said he just sensed like, the Holy Ghost was just there. He said, and he will pick a bundle of cash and the Holy Ghost would just tell him, he would just flip it and pull out one, fake note. He said, then he will pass this bundle, pass this one, go to this one, poke it out, pull it out. He said, when he, as he was continuing that way, just pulling out all the fake notes. Not putting on that light. He said he was just fishing it out like that. It was like somebody was telling him, bring that bundle out. Okay, just keep flipping it, that one, bring it out. And he was bringing it out. He said he got to a stage, the guy that brought the money, his eyes were just wide like this. You know what we'll say? Unweji. Sorry, how do you say that in Yoruba? In English, sorry. He washes his eyes. It's like he has a scanner in the eyes. But I'm telling you that it's not a dumb idol. Now, are you there? And there's an application for all of the manifestations of the Spirit, even as you go about your everyday business. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. So one of the things you will see is, he mentioned that also yesterday, is that one of the easy ways to remember that, because in talking about God not being a dumb idol, is that remember that God knows. Can I hear you say God knows? And there are three gifts that are mentioned in this chapter showing that God knows. He talks about the word of knowledge. The word of knowledge, or you can call it a word of God's knowledge. Meaning that you can know things that ordinarily you shouldn't know. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That's the word of God's knowledge. You just know something. You just know. You know, it's very interesting. Just walking with God is very interesting. I don't follow football very much. But there was a year, I think it was a Euro whatever it is that they play. Euro something something. Eh? Uh-huh, that was it. Did I tell you that one? Eh? I think it was Portugal, yes. Uh-huh. So I told you that one. I was just going. I'm talking about the fact that it's not a dumb idol. And my thinking, and what I want you to get is this, is that if he says he's with you always, then he will always want to interact. He will always want to manifest. Are you hearing me? And so the thing was there, they were playing the match, and I didn't even watch a single match. But I heard about how bad Portugal was. And they were surprised that Portugal had reached as far as they went. So this morning I was driving, I took my kids to school, and as I dropped them and I was driving off, I heard the Holy Ghost, a word of God's knowledge. And he said, Portugal, we win. Portugal, we win. So I think they were saying something on the radio, blah, 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 they were telling the news. And I just heard him say, Portugal, we win. You know, you know what he said to Abraham? He said, will I not tell my friend Abraham what I'm about to do? Expect God to talk to you. Are you hearing me? He knows. And he will reveal things to you. So I just looked and I said, I think I told him. I don't remember who else I told. Because I'm not a football guinea person. I just said, you know, Portugal will win. Yeah, I'll tell you another one. So I was looking at it, watching the first coming of Trump.
you know, the first coming of Trump. And when they were campaigning, you know, as the thing was going on and they were campaigning and all of that, he was saying all the wrong things you don't say as a politician. And every poll was count. I mean, it was worse and worse for him that he was going to lose. And I kept looking at Bashwin, and one day it just struck me, just spoke to me, and he said he's going to win. So I said, this guy's going to win. So if I in my office, they say, hey, you're a Trump man. I said, no, it has nothing to do with me liking him. But I know that he will win. You know, and they will argue. Look at the poll. I said, throw it away. I'm telling you what will happen. Are you there? Because he's not dumb. He's not a dumb idol. Can I hear you say he's not a dumb idol? And the night when they were doing the elections, the final thing, I was in South Africa. And that night, I had two, three American friends with me. And South Africa is, they feel 1 hour ahead of this place. So we sat there, they were counting, they were looking at everything. And by the time it was time to go to bed, it was, I think, over an 80% chance that Hillary Clinton would win. So they were all relaxed. So I said to them, I said, gentlemen and ladies, I'm going to bed. I said, in the morning, Trump would have won. He said, look at it. I said, forget it. I said, I will see you in the morning, and this is what the result will be. So I went to sleep. When I woke up in the morning, there were tears in the eyes. And I said, why? What's wrong with you? I said, I told you, I was preparing your heart, you know, for what is to come. And I told you, this is what will happen. Everyone was waiting to say, I said, I told you. Are you hearing me? I'm saying to you that he is there with you. He knows there's a word of God's knowledge. There's a word of God's knowledge that he can expose to you. It can be something as life. It can be something more serious. Are you hearing me, anybody? I mean, that's why Pastor Sajay was referring to Jesse Duplantis earlier. The investors, the bankers told him, this is where we need to invest. We need to sell this one. We need to buy this one. And the man said, just wait, leave me alone. I follow what God says. And he told them, he came back and he said, this is what you will do. You sell this, you buy this, you do that. He said, oh God, this is wrong. All the analysis, this is the one we are supposed to sell. You say we should buy. He said, buy more of this one. Sell this one. He said, everything you are saying is contrary. And the man said, it's my money. He said, so do what I said. And they did it. By the end of the year, they were bringing huge amper to his house. And when he got to his house, he said, you know, you are the only one of our clients who made money. Everybody else lost money. You are the only one who made money this year. And then the banker said, sir, next time God talks to you, tell us. You know, let us know. Because we want to enjoy the benefit of this thing. But it's yours for the enjoyment, for free. Can I have an amen? And so there's a word of God's knowledge. There's a word of God's wisdom. The wisdom is the application, what to do, knowing what to do. And saying knowing what to do means that it has an element of the future within it. It means that you can tell, this is what I'm supposed to do next. This is where I'm supposed to go. This is where I'm not supposed to go. This is the business I'm supposed to do. This is the one I'm not supposed to do. And that's a word of God's wisdom. Are you hearing me? And then there's the discerning of spirits, where you can tell what spirit is operating behind something. And you remember in the book of Acts that Paul was walking around and there was this lady that was following them. And he said, look, these are the servants of the Most High God. Hear ye them. That's great advertisement. But the Bible says this he did for many days. But Paul, being grieved in his spirit, so all of a sudden the design of spirit came into operation. And Paul knew that there's something in operation here. There's something that is different. This is not the Holy Ghost. And then he cast that devil out of the womb. And it was a divine in spirit. Are you there? So, God knows. Can I hear you say God knows? God speaks. Can I hear you say God speaks? So, we have the tongues and the interpretation of tongues. That's not the tongues that we speak when we're praying. That's a gift of tongues when you just speak in other tongues and it goes hand in hand with the interpretation. Remember, the Bible was talking about the tongues of men and of angels. So there are times when somebody even would speak in tongues and you will understand. That's prayer. There are times when you are speaking in tongues and you are just praying, 1 Corinthians 14:2, the Bible says you are speaking divine mysteries to God. You are speaking and you are praying accurately. Romans chapter 8, verse 26 and 27. You are praying accurately. That's what the Bible says. But the gift of tongues or special tongues means that it's a message in tongues. And oftentimes that has to go with an interpretation if it's public, so that the people can benefit. Are you hearing me? And that is equivalent to prophecy, which is I am inspired to speak, but I'm speaking it in a language you already understand. You know, Billy Graham was not filled with the Holy Ghost, you know, with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. But he was speaking somewhere. He was preaching. And towards the end of his message, just at the tail end of his message, a lady stood up in the congregation and began to give a message in tongues. And gave the message in tongues and gave an interpretation. And afterwards, somebody was asking Billy Graham and said, "What did you think about that?" Maybe knowing that this man, is not a Pentecostal. He said, "What did you think about that in your meeting?" Billy Graham said, I don't really understand it. He said, "But one thing I can tell you is that I have 5 points in my message." He said, "I'd only said 3 when I was about to round up." He said, "But when that woman spoke, whatever she said in tongues, and she interpreted it, she gave you the last 2 points." Are you there? So God knows, God speaks, God does. And under God does is the gifts of healings. Gifts of healings, the workings of miracles, and the faith, gift of special faith, because we have faith, and faith comes by hearing, and hearing by God's word. But there's special faith where you just can't believe. It's like you almost can't doubt in that moment. You know what? One day, and I'm talking about it because I felt God say, "Tell the people that this ought to be operational everywhere, every time." When I say every time, does it mean every second you are? No. But means expect God. Are you hearing me? Expect God. And one day there was a call to the office. We were trying to get an appointment with the State House, you know, with Aso Rock. And there was a call. And one of my colleagues came and said, "Oh, they're calling from Aso Rock." I said, "Oh, okay, let me talk to the person." So I did. And this person said, "Oh, we got your letter, you know, blah, 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 blah. And we fixed the appointment for this Thursday." So I looked at this. This Thursday we had a major meeting planned. So I said, "Sorry, sir, we can't come." I said, "We'll have to reschedule." And the man said, "Okay, blah, blah." I said, "What's your name? This, that." I said, "Okay, so I'll take note. Is this your number? Can we get back to you on this number?" I said, "Yes." I said, "So I'll get back to you about a favorable time that will come." And I said to my boss, you know, "Oh, we got a call. And that letter we wrote, they said we should come." I said, "I canceled it." He said, "What?" I said, "I rejected it. I told them the date it doesn't work." I said, "Because that date can't work." I said, "We have a meeting already planned." I said, "We can't cancel that meeting. We look like we're unserious people." I said, "So we can't cancel that meeting." He said, "But, you know, we've been trying since. He said, "In fact, we've tried for years. We've not gotten a date." He said, "Now we get a date and then you cancel it." I said, "We'll get another one." The gift of faith was in operation. I said, "We'll get a date." He said, "Really?" I said, "Yes, let's do our meeting." I said, "Then you tell me what works for you. And then we'll get back to them and we'll get the date." He said, "Hey." I said, "Yes." We got the date. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I'm talking about the gift of faith in operation. So it doesn't just work with healing. I've seen broken bones. Somebody came and had broken bones, broken hands. And I just thought, I couldn't doubt. And because the gift of faith was in operation, I didn't lay hands. I grabbed the hands and shook the hand. The hand that was in cast, I shook the hand because I didn't think it would break more. Because the gift of faith was in operation. God knows. God speaks. God does. The Bible says lastly, it says in verse 7, and you need to pay attention to it. Look at verse 7 in your Bible. It said, "But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for
the profit of all. Again, of all is in italics. So it's given to each one for profiting. Can I hear you say for profiting? Say it again, say for profiting. You know, back in the day, I was praying with some people. They just came to join. We had a prayer meeting on a field in UI. And towards the end of the prayer meeting, God's power hit the place and they fell. And I was jealous. Because I was saying, you know, these people falling for me, I have not fallen now. You know, so I waited, and when they got up, I said, come, what's happening down there? You know, and they, you know, they looked at me, when, like, almost like when you eat food that nobody else has eaten, you go, I just say, if you have a fat, we can't even explain it. You know, that's making it worse. Are you hearing me? And, but the manifestations of the Spirit are for your profit. We've spoken about the planters as an example. It will help you. It will. You know, one of those times recently, my son was in the university, was in his hostel, and he needed his suit, which he left at home. So he called and said, look, his mom was going to come visit. He said, please, call his sister and said, please pack this, and give it to her, you know, to bring. I need it. I need it on Friday. And she went on a Saturday. But my daughter packed the wrong things. You know, got the message wrong and packed the wrong thing. And she went 2.5 hours to visit. And she was like, there's no way, you know, that I can be here again this week. I planned this a long time ahead. And she went back and packaged the suit and all of that and sent it by post. And the post people she called me sent it on a Sunday. The post was open on a Sunday. And they said it's 3 to 5 days it's going to take. You know, so Monday, Tuesday went, Thursday went. It means that latest Friday you'll get it. So Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday went, and then we were talking on the phone on Wednesday night. And he was agitated. You know, it means I'm not going to get this thing. And then my wife was agitated on the other side and all of that. And I just said, okay, calm down. So I told my wife, good night. So and then we all said good night and got off the phone. Then I called my son back and I began to talk to him. And as I was talking about it, he said, but I need blah, blah. It just rose within me. And I said, you'll get it tomorrow. He said, what? I said, calm down. I said, it's coming tomorrow. You'll get it tomorrow. I said, so tomorrow, whatever you do, because if it comes even on Friday, it's going to arrive in the afternoon, so it would have missed what you needed for. I said, it's coming tomorrow. It's arriving tomorrow. How did I know? The gifts of the Spirit are for our profit. So it calmed the nerves. The moment I said that, it calmed down. I said, you'll get it tomorrow. I said, so when you go to class and all of that, just come back and check the reception and ask them for it. I said, you need to be there. You will have it tomorrow. She got it tomorrow. Or he got it tomorrow. Are you with me? So God wants to move in our lives. God wants to be present and actively present in our lives. Hallelujah. He wants to be involved in the things you are doing. He wants to show you how to do the business. He wants to show you where to go, where not to go. He wants to show you which boss to enter, which one not to enter. Are you still with me? You know, as I close, again, I'll tell you another close encounter of a close kind. It was Gordon Lindsay. Gordon Lindsay was the director of a Bible school that Idausa attended. You know, so he was the one that, you know, trained Idausa and T.L. Osborne. And one of those days, he got up and he was going to travel. And a young lady in the Bible school said, sir, I don't think you're meant to travel today. I don't think you're supposed to go on that journey. And God didn't say, no, don't worry, everything is fine, and blah, 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 blah. And lady said, no, sir, I don't believe you're supposed to travel. We're talking about it's for your profit. And he said, no, blah, blah. And then he left. So when he left, he got to the airport. And then he looked, no passport, no ticket. He began to look for his ticket. He searched his bag everywhere, couldn't find his ticket. What's the problem here? You know, I'm losing out time and all of that. Then he thought, okay, I'll just buy another one and go. And then he began to look. He couldn't find wallet. So as he searched, the time closed. He couldn't buy a ticket. He couldn't fly on that flight. And then he was going back home. Sad that, I didn't make the trip. And as he was going home, he was listening to the radio, and he heard the plane that he didn't get on just crashed. Are you with me? He says, I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren. And I want you to know that you are not being led to a dumb idol. God is not. He knows, he sees, he does. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And everything he does is for your profits. Let's stand on our feet. In your presence, that's where I am strong. In your presence, oh Lord my God. In your presence, that's where I belong. Seeking your face, touching your grace. In your presence, oh Lord. Oh, in your presence, that's where I am strong. In your presence, oh Lord my God, in your presence, that's where I belong. Seeking your face, touching your grace, in your presence, O Lord, in your presence, that's where I am strong, in your presence. I want to pray for anyone who's sick. Just make your way out here if you're sick in your body. I want to pray for you by the laying on of hands because of the specific gift of healing, the tangible healing anointing. The Bible says that God works special miracles by the hands of Paul. Thought that aprons and handkerchiefs were taken. So I spoke about that. I sensed that healing unction strong on my hand. I was ministering somewhere and I could sense this young man thought, oh, why is he laying hands? He can't pray without laying hands. No, I can, and I do that sometimes. But I lay hands because of the gifts of healing, the specific, special gifts of healing. That's why I lay hands, because I want that unction particularly to be transferred. It's like electricity. So I want to touch and I want it to be transferred.